Okay, there we go. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the November 4th, 2020 Board of Forestry meeting. We are live streaming this meeting on YouTube. We want to ensure that our viewers online can follow along with today's meeting. So before we start, I'll go over some housekeeping tips to keep us on track. Everybody participating or presenting, please silence your cell phones and limit background noises, and remember to use the mute feature when you are not speaking. If your video is enabled, feel free to disable if you need to step away, and don't hesitate to use the chat function on Zoom to connect with our ODF support team in Salem during the meeting. For those joining us online, I'll remind everyone of our general order of operations. After an item is introduced, I'll invite the presenters to begin. For board members, if you have clarifying questions, please use that raise hand function and I will call on you. Presenters, we will do our best to ask questions one at a time. After a presentation, we will open up the floor for board discussion and additional questions. For the one decision item beyond the consent agenda items today, we will hear from the landowner who appealed to have a hearing in front of the board, and this item is not available for general public testimony. Members of the public, we ask that if you would like to submit written testimony for this meeting's information items and enter it into the record, please send in your comments by November 18th. This will help in our preparation of our board meeting minutes. Any questions from board members about that? Okay, if none, then I'll perform a roll call to determine that we have a quorum for today's items. So, board members, remember to unmute yourselves for this. Nils Christofferson.
Here.
Cindy Deacon-Williams.
Here.
Joe Justice.
Here.
Jim Kelly.
Here.
Brenda McComb.
Here.
Mike Rose.
Here.
And I'm Tom Imeson. I'm here. So we have all members attending today. So obviously we have a quorum. We'll now move to the consent agenda items, A through F. And I want to point out, as is typical, we have some action items included in those consent items. Is there a motion for approval of consent items A through F?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Then all those, and I will call a roll and all those, each of you want to call your name, please signify by saying aye or some similar comment or no. Cindy Deacon-Williams?
Aye.
Joe Justice?
Aye.
Jim Kelly?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
Mike Rose?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. So we'll next go to the state forester for his opening comment.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it, I'd like my vote aye recorded as well.
Oh, I thought I got you. Sorry. You'll be recorded as aye. So, Peter?
Good morning. This is our last board meeting of the year, and it's been a strange and challenging year in many ways, and it's not over yet. I'll start with some comments on diversity, equity, inclusion, and racial justice. November is Native American Heritage Month, and many of our nation's indigenous people feel deeply connected to forest land, which is something I think all of us involved in forestry can relate to. We work with Oregon tribes wherever possible and greatly value their perspective and contributions to sustainable management of Oregon's forest. We greatly value the partnership we have with Oregon tribes and appreciate every opportunity we get to work with those who understand the importance of sustaining healthy, productive forest and the economic, environmental, and social benefits they provide. I'm going to give an update on some of our efforts in DEI and racial justice. And we have a group that developed a series of social media posts on diversity in the outdoor industry in an effort to implement ODF's DEI core value in the Recreation, Education, and Interpretation, or REI program. The idea behind sharing these resources is to allow readers the opportunity to deepen their understanding, engage with more material, and create a dialogue following a given post. The posts are rooted in education and interpretation, encouraging social media consumers to explore history, anthropology, social and hard sciences, and the arts. The group included Laura Fredrickson, REI manager, Denise Berkshire, education, interpretation, and volunteer coordinator at the Tillamook Forest Center, Matt Luciani, a seasonal interpretation and education specialist also at the Tillamook Center, and Jason Cox, our public affairs specialist. While some of the information and the resulting dialogue may be uncomfortable, they are crucially important in helping educators, field staff, and agency employees create an inclusive space, better serve communities, and maintain excellent public service. This information includes resources from many voices, ranging from members of the outdoor industry to academic authors and community leaders. The audiences of the post will be followers of ODF social media, including the Tillamook Forest Center Facebook community. The group also recognizes that an online forum is just one component, but can serve as one element to lay the foundation of DEI work in our recreational program. In order for DEI to be reflected appropriately, meaningful action must occur, and this will be established in future strategic initiatives and plans in our recreation program. So really proud of this group and just wanted to give a shout out to them today for their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Moving on to fire season, you'll hear a more detailed report, but I wanted to note that the Labor Day fire event resulted in the worst fire season for ODF protected lands and one of the worst in state history. On September 7th, atop a multi-year drought conditions and historically low fuel moistures and humidity, a strong cold front arrived in the early evenings with east-northwest winds at sustained speeds of 20 to 30 miles an hour and gusts from 50 to 60 miles an hour. This was the strongest three-day easterly wind event during fire season since at least the 1950s. As of October 19th, across all wildland fire jurisdictions in Oregon, approximately 2,045 fires burned 128 million acres. On ODF's protection responsibility of 16.2 million acres, 920 fires burned approximately 541,822 acres. For context, our 10-year average is about 41,000 acres, so significantly larger. This event is Oregon's worst natural disasters with over 4,000 residents burned, 1,400 other structures, including businesses, destroyed, and 9 confirmed fatalities. I cannot thank my staff and our first responder partners enough. When the Labor Day fire started, everyone from local fire chiefs and sheriffs to wildland and structural firefighters were singularly focused on getting people out of the way of these unstoppable blazes. If you've heard anything of the stories of the people involved in those firefighting and evacuation efforts, you will know there were selfless and heroic actions taking place statewide. Some of those actions were happening while their own families were being evacuated and their homes being destroyed. There have been some incredible tough days for these folks, both personally and professionally, but they kept coming back every day to keep fighting fires and helping others. And so I think the work of those folks is why we had, you know, given the events, 900,000 acres burning in populated areas in 3 days or so, why we only had nine fatalities. Nine fatalities is the highest for Oregon, but some remarkably good work on those days. The governor's disaster cabinet was stood up to address the fire event, and it has transitioned into long-term recovery. The governor also established a wildfire economic recovery council to provide advice. And the disaster cabinet has established three task forces to focus on particular areas of recovery: the disaster housing, the debris management, and the natural and cultural resource recovery task forces. ODF and Parks were asked to stand up the natural and cultural resource recovery task force. Fortunately, our staff didn't wait around and they were already meeting. Essentially, the standing water core team of the natural resources were already coordinating with federal partners on the recovery effort. So we went to the natural resource cabinet and got this effort recognized as a task force. It's being led by Cal Abraham of Forestry, Renee Davis of OWEB, and Keith Anderson of DEQ. There really are, when you think about fire recovery, there's three phases. Suppression repair, that's immediately done after, as a fire suppression wraps up. That's done by the fire teams and is largely wrapped up. There's assessment and emergency stabilization efforts. You've heard of the Bear Forest Service. There's a SUR for BLM, and there's an ETART that FEMA runs for non-federal lands. And then there's longer-term post-recovery, and we're taking an all-lands approach. And this is a long-term effort. This is 3 to 5 years just to really begin to get it recovered. Some of the initial priorities for the task force are to compile assessment of recovery needs by ownership, by fire and ownership and statewide, identify potential debris torrent and other public safety risk, identify priority drinking water sources, area for soil stabilization and slope stability based on erosion potential, and areas of potential risk to cultural resources. They are also looking at aligning and leveraging funding sources to accomplish this work. I'm only going to go over kind of the short-term tasks they're doing right now. They're working in coordination with federal partners and processes to complete the assessment of recovery needs by fire ownership and statewide. So you've seen these burned acres and burn severity, burned riparian areas, burned protected resources, and cultural resources at risk. After they completed the assessment, they'll be identifying, prioritizing areas to reduce sediment delivery risk to water quality and infrastructure, identify priority areas for natural resource restoration, for example, riparian areas and aquatic resources, identify, again, potential debris torrents and public safety risk, priority drinking watersheds, and high concentration of cultural resources. They're also working on with interagency leadership to identify appropriate local structures and interconnections with the task force to develop local priorities. And they're also articulating sideboards for cost share programs. I've been in close communication with the Forest Service Regional Forester, Glenn Casamassa, ever since these fires broke out. And we rapidly moved to the need to take an all-lands approach to recovery using the tools and the authorities under shared stewardship. As part of setting up the task force, Maida Lofsgaarden from OWEB and I organized a meeting with the governor's office and state and federal natural resource agency executives to discuss an interagency leadership team to guide the recovery and provide a reporting place for decision-making when questions come up from the task force. That meeting established a team that's meeting weekly. They're actually meeting this morning at this time, and Lena's covering it for me. It includes the governor's office, forestry, OWEB, environmental quality, fish and wildlife, agriculture, and parks and recreation from the state, and the Forest Service, Natural Resource Conservation Service, Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Indian Affairs, Fish and Wildlife Service, Environmental Protection Agency, and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So executives have committed to meeting on that leadership agenda once a week to start with, and they're also having staff dedicated to the task force. So great coordination effort going on. Our objective is to ensure an organizational structures and processes align in a way that help ensure we take a coordinated all lands approach to fire response and recovery while keeping agencies free to move forward with their individual work. And again, our leadership recovery priorities are aligned with the task force and vice versa. So moving on top of that recovery work that private force is leading for us, they're also addressing a large increase in notifications for salvage logging. And we implement the FPA, as you know, and we work with landowners and Department of Fish and Wildlife and Department of Environmental Quality on a regular basis to protect natural resources under the FPA. Given the magnitude of this catastrophic event, around 267,000 acres of industrial land and 97,000 acres of non-industrial forest lands. We are seeking additional staff support for our ODF stewardship foresters and our field support unit in the arenas of fish habitat and water quality. We've already done flow to work to make sure the areas of burns have enough stewardship foresters. But we'll be onboarding DEQ and ODF&W personnel today with a short description of the intent of our interagency alignment. We'll have these personnel directly embedded into our field support unit for the private forest division. And this is to really get a much more rapid response to plan for alternate practices, et cetera. But we also look forward to this as an increased understanding in our agency programs and perspectives as a byproduct of this work. And finally, I'd like to thank DEQ and ODF for leaning forward into this work while they also deal with increased workloads for fire recovery and restoration. Finally, this meeting's largely focused on climate change, and I do want to give you an update on our work related to Executive Order 2004. As you know, Governor Brown signed that executive order in March, which directs state agencies to take actions to reduce and regulate greenhouse gas emissions. The executive order listed ODF in several sections, including a requirement that ODF submit a report to the governor's office in mid-May. We submitted that report. We had previously provided that report to you. With the posting of the agency report, the forestry report received by far the most public comment of any agency report. This report was a one-time request, and there's no additional follow-up reporting in the executive order. As an additional request, the governor's office provided the department with a letter outlining some things they wanted us to do, which included prioritizing actions through a climate lens and creating a climate change plan for the department that would support and advance climate-informed forestry leadership actions and opportunities within the agency and through the Board of Forestry. and you were provided that letter at the July meeting. Since a request for the creation of the climate change plan, the department's limited climate and carbon staff have been drafting a plan that will be provided to the board for review. Initially, the draft outline of this work was on the September agenda, but that was delayed due to the catastrophic fire event that occurred just before the meeting. And so we've worked to incorporate feedback from the governor's office, the board, the public stakeholders, and agency executives to formulate a purpose, vision, and principles to guide the rest of the change of the climate plan. The purpose is to make Oregon forestry a leader in climate change mitigation and adaptation. The department has been working on climate change for over 20 years, and the department will be a leader in promoting climate smart forest policies and actions that achieve our vision by operationalizing goals, implementing actions, and measuring progress in achieving climate goals. Our vision is that the Oregon Board and Department of Forestry provide national leadership in climate smart and socially equitable forest policies that ensure climate health, resilient forest, a viable forest products industries, and vibrant rural communities. The principles we've identified are that climate change is a serious threat. We have less than a decade to alter behaviors if we want to alter catastrophic impacts. We must be innovative, creative, and proactive in working towards solutions, not reactionary to the results of climate change. Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities have been and continue to be some of the most climate-impacted communities. Forest policy will be shaped through the lens of social justice and equity, and actions prioritized to benefit historically and currently underserved communities. And Oregon's forest sector offers opportunity for significant sequestration and storage in both woods and both in the woods and in harvested wood products. In line with the purpose, vision, and principles of the plan, staff and leadership have outlined 8 initial areas of focus for the forest climate action goals. These goals range from silviculture and state forest management to fire response and urban forestry. They include: encourage the just and equitable transition to climate-informed forestry that optimizes climate mitigation and adaptation while maintaining a sustainable flow of wood products to ensure long-term resource benefits and the viability of the forest products industry. Increase the extent and resilience of urban and community forests to maximize the climate mitigation and health benefits of urban forestry canopy. Facilitate and encourage the reforestation of areas burned by wildfire and the afforestation of low productivity lands that are understocked and not in forest use. Modernize Oregon's complete and coordinated wildfire protection system to respond to the increased severity and incidence of wildfire, and promote fire and smoke adapted communities in the wildland urban interface to mitigate the impacts of climate induced increases in wildfire severity. Lead by example and demonstrate climate smart forest management on state forests to achieve the greatest permanent value. Accelerate the pace and scale and quality of federal forest restoration to increase the resilience to increase wildfire severity and incidents. Support the implementation of the recommendations of the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response. Support a strong but flexible land use planning system as a cornerstone of maintaining Oregon's forest on private lands. And finally, maintain a research and monitoring program to inform policy and measure accomplishment of goals. Moving forward, staff will continue to develop the climate change plan and draft document in addition to working with the agency executive team and the board to establish a robust public input process. broader climate change work will be implemented in the development of the plan, including ongoing research and work with other state agencies and commissions through ongoing projects and items outlined in the executive order. When the drafting is complete, the department will bring the plan to the board for review and further refinement before finalization and implementation. Our rough estimate for timing is over the next several months. Staff will work with the board to establish goals for public input and develop that process for that input. Draft is expected to be ready for the board to provide an initial review early in 2021, followed by public input and finalization of the draft for final board review in the spring or summer of 2021. This is going to tie in, I think, a lot to the revision of Goal G and the forestry program for Oregon overall. We need to sort of work out how this is merged. But with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thanks, Peter. Any questions for Peter or other comments from board members?
Tom, just one question. Peter, when you talked about reforestation and afforestation post-fire, is there work sort of looking at what the stocking rate should be in regard to climate change? Are we thinking about adjusting those stocking rates?
Species. We are looking at species migration patterns. I haven't been following closely any research on stocking density. You know, there's some indications, and there's probably research in California on that, some indications that the carrying capacity of the Sierra Nevadas is lower than it was historically because of continued drought. We do have stocking standards for commercial, for private forest lands. But I think that it'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that in terms of stocking rates.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Peter. And I do want to thank you, Peter, and your team for, I think we talked about this a little bit at the previous meeting about the handling of the fires themselves, but I want to recognize also the work that you and your group are doing that you described today and the follow-up to those fires, especially through the disaster cabinet and other structures here with both our state and local partners and federal as well. So appreciate that.
I'll pass that on to the team. Thanks.